number two of a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander, Brady Canada to join us later this hour. Host of Long Shots, talk golf this week at the Memorial. Got his picks for that. What he's got in pocket for the U.S. Open as well, and how he feels about the announcement last night that, among others, Dustin Johnson will be headed over to London June the 9th for the first of the LIV golf events. And Dustin Johnson seemingly sort of saying, hey, yeah, PGA Tour, see if you could stop me from coming back after I play these and win a grip of cash. We'll talk to Brady about that. I think Jason wants to talk about that as well. And we have some blind resumes to go through with Jason, who he's prepared these meticulously for Point Spread Weekly, but we have a little bit of a sneak preview here on a numbers game on those as well. First, though, Ben Wilson is with us this week. Ben Wilson, who, for those who missed it earlier this week, does play-by-play all around this great nation. He does arena football. He does so many other things, including college basketball that time of year. He does college baseball. And back in the day, you went to the China Open, and you interviewed the great Rafa Nadal, the king of clay.
Yeah. No, it was amazing. So it's part of a college internship program where the China Open, for reasons that are unknown, hired 12 University of Missouri journalism students to run all of their English language website articles and their whole site for the tournament. So I was like, all right. I was the only person who actually liked, yeah, everybody was there just to visit. So I'm like, all right, let me see how far I can take this. And Rafa Nadal was one of the, like, probably the most fascinating person I've ever, like, interacted with or talked to. It basically asked him, so that tournament, he lost to Djokovic in the final, but at the same time, he regained the number one ranking in the world at the time. And I was like, so you've been doing this for, you know, at this point, he'd been a pro for, you know, 10 years. Like, so you're back amazing. To number one. Like, yeah. What is the real significance of all this? Give me like an 8-minute answer, just talking about life, the meaning of everything. And yeah. I'm just sitting there like, oh, wow, this is the most amazing thing ever. And it was just.
And that was so long ago.
At the time we were starting, he had had a bunch of injuries previously. So he had just gotten back to number one. And we're thinking like, all right, how many years does this guy really have left?
Yeah.
I was just appreciative. I got to watch him in person. That was 2013, Gil. It's 2022.
It's amazing.
And he's in another French Open semi.
I'll just say it again. I hope we're appreciating what's in front of us with these guys, because we'll never quite have this again.
Wearing my 2017 U.S. Open polo that I legitimately went to that U.S. Open just so I could say I watched Roger Federer in person before he retired.
That's right.
Now, obviously, he's been injured, but it's 5 years later. Like he's still planning another comeback.
When my little nephew,
it's amazing.
When my little nephew was, I think, 4 years old, I took him to the ballpark in San Francisco because I wanted him to be able to say that he saw Barry Lamar Bonds play baseball, same sort of thing. And in the middle of the game, he looks up at me and he says, "Uncle Gil, my dad says Barry Bonds cheats." I was like, "Shut up, Bowen."
Nothing to see.
Look at that. I'm doing you a favor here. Stop it. Anyway, that's awesome that you interviewed him. And he's so thoughtful. He's like, Ben Wilson, you know, it's a metaphor for life. He just sucks in and thinks of a new
like
thought.
Danny Rojas and Ted Lasso, where he's like, tennis is life.
It's so phenomenal. Good for you, man. It's good to have you this week. Jason Weingarten is here, everybody, from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California, the host of the Wide World of Weingarten podcast, available multiple times a week, whenever Jason feels like putting one out, which is multiple times a week. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Going very well. Before we get to baseball and previewing your blind resume stuff for Point Spread Weekly, you were fascinated by this announcement last night. We were on Primetime Action again. We were like, oh, have they even announced the field for this London golf tournament, the first of the LIV golf tournaments? And then it comes out, the list comes out, and DJ, who 100 days ago, had put out this statement through the PGA Tour itself after Phil Mickelson said bad things and wanted to distance himself. The PGA Tour was like, oh, Dustin Johnson loves the PGA Tour. He would never play on any other tour. And so DJ's playing this. You read it like I do, which is DJ sort of saying, watch me, try to stop me from coming back.
I mean, money talks, and I'm sure DJ is advised by some pretty high-level lawyers who told him that, you know, the PGA is going to set off a firestorm if they try to suspend him or, you know, sanction him. So I was a little surprised to see him on the list, but I think a lot of other players are going to reconsider after this first event, seeing that Dustin Johnson is getting a a huge paycheck and somebody else is going to win several million dollars. I mean, would you rather grind on the European tour or, you know, play these smaller events, or you want to make $4 million play in this new tour?
That's a quick poll of the three of us. Ben, bring you in for this. If we were either middling golfers on the tour or if we were one of the best like Dustin Johnson, who, again, let's not quibble with. Well, he hasn't been the best in the last, whatever. You get it. He's in the top tier of golfers, we can say, over the last few years. Wouldn't you play in this tournament if you had a chance? Quick poll. Ben?
Yes.
Jason?
Absolutely.
100% unanimous.
I felt I was like the most guilty of the three of you guys thinking about the Saudi thing, and you guys are like, oh, no, we're doing it. I appreciate that.
Yeah, but then if you throw that in, I probably stop, and then I'm like, okay, you're right, I shouldn't play. You know, now
I think the Saudi angle and the sports washing and everything is a super interesting conversation to have, but when you look at a lot of the sponsors on the PGA Tour and a whole lot of the stuff they do, it sort of comes into a moralizing and sort of, well, where do you draw the line? Like, you're going to take appearance fees and go play in Dubai and the UAE and play all these other places, and then you're going to point fingers at the Saudis? I mean, they could have this conversation for an hour.
You're right, because, you know, you're absolutely right that there is a where do you draw the line in, because you could make the case, right, not to get in the weeds on this last thing, but you could make the case like, oh, we're playing the Masters at this course, are we? Tell me about the history of this course, right?
And that's all. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, but it's very, very much similar to that. Also,
yeah.
As well.
So, yeah, no, you're right. You're right. Okay, baseball. Now you have gone ahead and done this, and I didn't even ask you if we should do this on the show or not. But I just went ahead and I was like, okay, Jason did this for Points Spread Weekly. Let's just give a preview. You want to throw these up, Ben? You want to set these up for us? Little blind resume, and this is all through the conversation of awards, whether it's MVP or Cy Young. What do you got first here? This is MVP blind resumes, Jason. You've put these two together, player A and player B, and these are really good. These are the month of May. Is that what we're looking at?
Yeah, only month of May. So through before yesterday's games.
Okay, Ben. You know Ben. But the top one is 32 hits, 24 runs, 12 homers, 24 RBI, but a really high K rate and a very low-ish by comparison. Oh, actually, kind of a high walk rate, 10.5%. 95.2 mile per hour average EV, slash of 320, 386, 720, 212 WRC plus. And the numbers below that are equally pretty powerful, but a much lower K rate and a much lower walk rate. But the slash is better, with the exception of the slugging. Who are we looking at here in A and B? Because these are both really good.
Player A is Mike Trout, right?
No, that's Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge up top and Rafael Devers at the bottom there.
Okay, I can't see the top line, so I couldn't see the home runs.
Oh, okay. So what you're getting at here is that Judge's, that as much hype as Judge is getting, that someone like Devers is just as comparable, at least in the month of May?
Yeah, I mean, if we're just looking at the last month or the last 30 days, whatever you want to chop it up, Aaron Judge is great. Like, I've said this many times. I'm not trying to tell people I don't think Aaron Judge is great. I think he deserves half a billion dollars his next contract. But a 3-to-1 handle on his MVP, I don't see it. I see plenty of other guys who are playing as well as he is. And it's obviously the pinstripe premium for Aaron Judge there.
The pinstripe premium. I like it. Copyright Jason Weingarten, Wide World Weingarten. Yeah. All right, so now let's take a look at these two. By the way, I'm not killing your Point Spread Weekly article completely with these, am I? Should we?
No.
Oh, okay, I'm just curious. I don't want to spoil it for everybody. Well, this is player A and player B. Now, these are not nearly the months of May's that we just saw from Judge and Devers. This is far worse. Player A, just 20 hits, 8 runs, 3 homers, 8 ribbies. You see the walk and the K rates, both at 12.6%, and a really pedestrian slash line of a 230 batting average, a 350 OBP to 368 by comparison to what we just saw. The one at the bottom, even, you know, in some categories, like fewer hits, right? 13 hits, that's it, though 5 were homers, but an astronomical K rate of 24.2%. And look at that slash line. 163, 253, 375. If this was 1977, Jason, I would say player B is Dave Kingman. Who are these two players?
Top one, player A, is Vlad, and bottom one is Byron Buxton, who I think, unfortunately, has probably eliminated himself from the MVP conversation with this month.
That's too bad because I loved my Byron Buxton ticket. But you're right. These two guys are very much in the not only the MVP conversation, but in the betting markets, they're pretty short, right?
Yeah, I mean, Vlad's drifted up to about 20-1. Buxton a little probably further out. But, you know, I mean, you can have a bad month and still win MVP, but you have to rebound with an incredible, you know, Rafael Devers sort of month. But I don't see it from Buxton, unfortunately. Vlad, I'm on the fence about. But I think we could discard Buxton from the contender pool.
What does your keen baseball eye tell you about Vlad? Like, what's going on with that dude?
Launch angle. That's what everyone sort of agrees on, is he's hitting the ball into the ground again instead of in the air.
That'll do it. Hitting the ball into the ground instead of the air. That will usually manifest over time. Should we save a couple more for after the break? Why don't we do that? We'll save a couple more for after the break.
Two more for after the break.
Two more for after the break. And Jason has a baseball pick or two as well. Is that true?
I do. I can tell you what I bet today.
Oh, all right. We'll do that right after the break. Oh, you give one right now. What's one of them?
I bet the Giants. Giants money line, slightly plus money, like plus 106 or something.
Giants plus 106, pick number one from Jason Weingarten. We'll get another one. We'll look at a couple more blind resumes, which are designed to help you pick slash bet or not bet some of these players that are either overvalued or undervalued in the betting markets, in the awards markets. More with Jason on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. Don't forget about our betting splits feature on the website. Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. The page will show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, and now it's updated every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. You'll be able to see where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. It's Gil Alexander, Ben Wilson, in for Jeff Parlay this week. You know, we have multiple screens up, none of which are the Tennis Channel, by the way. Which might be a good thing, because I don't know if I can multitask with bets going on and doing the show here. But they do show like random old NFL footage and all these, you know, easily non-distractable things. But one of the things they just you know how they show the Holy Roller play for the Raiders, which obviously changed the rules about, you know, fumbling the ball forward in the closing stages of a game. But they always show the back angle, slow motion. You know, dramatic NFL films, and like Phil Villapiano was pushing it forward, and Dave Casper lands on it in the end zone. They showed, I don't know that I've ever seen that before, they showed the broadcast footage of that play, like on the actual, you know, 50-yard line camera, and the play is so pedestrian. It's like everybody just sort of stopped playing. And Villapiano's like, here, take the ball, move it forward. And Casper just lands on it down the end zone. He doesn't even celebrate. He's looking back like, oh, is the play whistle dead? Oh, we won. Oh, great. That's awesome. Very, very interesting. And then there's other stuff like Billy White Shoes Johnson scores this dramatic touchdown. He, like, replay today, he would have been like, not only did you not score, you landed at the 1 yard line. Like, it's not even close. Like, he's
dramatic. They're overturning everything about this.
Oh, yeah. Every dramatic play in NFL history would have been overturned by replay. Immaculate reception? I'm sorry. That's an incomplete pass, though, ladies and gentlemen. We have the angles now. Jason Weingarten is with us. Sorry for the random aside. From the wide world of Weingarten. Wearing Rams jersey? No Rams paraphernalia.
No, just there. Regular.
Regular. All right. Jason, by the way, can be followed at Twitter, at Spreadopedia, the host of the Wide World of Weingarten podcast. Want to do some more blind resumes, or am I jacking up your article, Jason? What are we doing?
No, let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, one more of these for the MVP anyway. Blind resume. Again, this is designed to try to help you decide, at least in the month of May, who might be a good bet, who might be a bad bet. All right, we're back to solid performances in the month of May. These are hitters. 29 hits, 23 runs, 8 homers, 18 ribbies, though an astronomical K rate. Good Lord. Someone striking out at a 32.1% K rate. Wow. 302, 385, 625 slash. And then below him, someone who has had a really good month as well. 24 hits, 17 runs, 8 homers, 16 RBI, 21.4% K rate, not quite as astronomical as the one above. And you see the slash as well. Who you got here, player A and player B, Jason?
Player A with the 30-plus percent strikeout rate is Mike Trout. And on the bottom, we got Yordan Alvarez, who I would not have considered an MVP candidate, but those numbers say, you know, he's almost as good as any of these other guys.
The Trout thing is amazing, though, isn't it? Is there an equivalent for this guy in any other sport? Like, we never think about him, and yet he is just excellence, game in and game out, month in and month out. He's probably the best player in baseball year in and year out, and it's like, I always use my buddy Tommy in D.C. as the gauge for this kind of stuff, right? He's a huge football fan. He's a casual sports fan of most everything else. And if I said to him, I go, could you pick Mike Trout out of a lineup? He'd be like, not a chance. It's incredible.
Most people in L.A. can't pick Mike Trout out of a lineup, and he's, you know, one of the biggest superstars in 500 miles of here.
Would you put a bet on Mike Trout, or is the number too short?
Too short for me. I would need, you know, I want to see him drift out closer to 10-1 before I don't think I have any, I don't have any Judge. I don't have any Trout. I don't have any Rafael Devers. The only other guy I bet money on for MVP is Jose Ramirez before the season.
Jose Ramirez doing huge things, but it's in Cleveland and feels like it's in oblivion as a result of that. We talk about like LeBron MVP fatigue, or hey, Patrick Mahomes, you can give it to him every year. Do you think the pendulum has swung on Trout a little bit with that, where we're like, hey, wait a minute, we should probably be thinking about Mike Trout a little more?
Not really, because other than being injured, I don't think he really went anywhere. You know, he's still there. He's still great. The odds makers haven't really discounted him very much. There's a brief window where he kind of drifted up to like 10-1 early in the season. Other than that, his numbers have been pretty consistent. And now, I think he's just overvalued.
And now we know him as the worst fantasy commissioner ever. Did you hear this, Tommy Pham? The latest layer of the Tommy Pham Doc Peterson thing?
I didn't get a chance to read what's going on, but sounds like they got some issues.
Tommy Pham has now decided to up it. Tommy Pham, who slapped Jock Peterson for making transactional moves in their fantasy football league that he objected to, and then having the audacity to put a meme out there that he felt was disrespectful. Now he's like, you know what? Mike Trout was a terrible commissioner. He should have stopped. What is wrong with Tommy Pham? Like, who talks
Tommy
about
Tommy Pham's going to end up playing in Mexico very soon if he doesn't shut his mouth.
He should really stop talking. All right, now here's AL Cy Young, blind resume. Player A, 33 2/3. This is how many starts are we talking here? Like four or five, kind of?
Four or five.
Also month of May.
Innings.
All right, month May also. This one has given up 12 earned runs in 33 2/3, 3 homers, that's it, and has a 45-5 K to walk ratio. Wow. 12.03 Ks per 9. Nice. Oh, look at that. Look at the fielding independent, the XFIP. 2.07 and 2.21. Wow. Player B, very similar. In fact, has given up fewer earned runs, just 7 to the player A, 12. Also the same amount of homers. The K to walk ratio, not quite as spectacular, but look at that. Not only his baseball card stats are better, 1.95 ERA, but his advanced stats not quite as good. All right, who's A and who's B?
Player A is Gerrit Cole. Player B is Nestor Cortez, and that's to say I would be selling Nestor Cortez at these numbers. I'd be buying Gerrit Cole at these numbers. The advanced stats, the XFIP and everything are saying that Cole is underperformed and Nestor Cortez is slightly overperformed.
100%. Wow. I don't think I realized that about Gerrit Cole. So Gerrit Cole, like Trout, very quietly, right, putting together this just 45-5 K to walk, 2.07 fielding independent, 2.21 XFIP. Where can you get Gerrit Cole AL Cy Young right now?
Where? About 7.5-1.
7.5-1. Huh.
I mean, I like him. I like him more than Verlander. Verlander's got, similar XFIP, 3.75 XFIP, 7.67 K to 9. Those are good. They're just not Cy Young numbers.
Yeah, those Cole numbers are for sure. Again, this is just the month of May. Things could change. But Garrett Cole, 7.5 to 1, might be worth a look-see. All right, and then you had another pick today. Remind everybody what your first pick was first.
Giants was my first pick. You want to see? I'll tell you what I have. Just give me a second. I gotta load it real quick.
Hey, man, you take your time. I hate when I surprise you with this stuff. It's okay. Giants, by the way, Giants that should be pointed out for those who are like, who are the Giants playing? They're at the Phillies. You had the Giants last night too, did you?
Yeah, I had Giants last night. It was about 4.5 hours to get that bet settled. Giants 106 today.
It's starting to annoy you.
The Reds under 9. I think that might have moved. Bet the Reds plus 169. I bet the Rays under 8. I think that number is also gone. I bet the Tigers plus 114. And I'm running it back with the Pirates. I bet the Pirates plus 211.
Wow. Okay. You did that way too quickly. Okay. So Giants are the first one. And let's read the other slowly again so everybody can get those.
Giants. Reds under 9. I think that line's gone. Reds plus 169 against the Red Sox. Rays, Rangers under 8. I think that line also might be gone. The totals tend to move quicker than the money lines. Detroit Tigers plus 114. I think that's still pretty close. And Pirates plus 211 tonight versus the Dodgers. Dodgers can't get swept at home by the Pirates, can they?
Can they? Can they? I mean, have you been betting them in this series before?
I bet them yesterday. I didn't bet them. I didn't bet them in the first game. I actually had the Dodgers live. I was a little disappointed there.
Oh, that was the one where the Dodgers took the lead late and the Pirates retook the lead late, I believe?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's no fun. All right. A bevy of baseball picks. We'll get those in the newsletter, young Ben Wilson. Yes? Willie?
I've been feverishly trying to type on this keyboard here, but I got them all down, Jason.
Feverishly.
Thank you, Jason.
Jason, is that a typical day's worth of baseball plays for you, would you say, this year?
Yeah, I mean, I still got a whole bunch more. I got some totals I'm still plugging in, and, I got the props. Props haven't even started yet. Got a whole day's worth of props to put in, so...
Okay.
You know, with the schedule, you get like 12 games, 15 games a day sometimes. It does get pretty busy. It's a lot of baseball.
And there's first innings that'll come out, and you'll play those too. It's a whole thing. Jason, appreciate it as always, man. At Spreadopedia, and again, the wide world of Weingarten. When is the next episode dropping?
Today, going to talk about golf, the senior tour, what we got this week, all the fun stuff to bet.
All right. We'll leave that for the podcast. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me. I'll talk to you later.
You too. Jason Weingarten. Wide World of Weingarten. Betting all kinds of things on planet Earth. Brady Cannon on the Memorial Neck.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The VSiN Summer Special is here for only $39. You get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of July. Next few months can be filled with the best betting content in the business right here at VSiN.com, and subscribers will have access to all of it, including Adam Burke's daily MLB best bets. Jonathan Ontobel will have best bets all the way through the NBA Finals. Andy McNeil will break down all the action on the ice all the way through the Stanley Cup playoffs, and we'll have lots of NFL preseason coverage as well, not to mention continued best bets and premium articles covering golf, UFC, USFL, and NASCAR. If you want the full VSiN experience, which features a daily best bets email, every edition of Point Spread Weekly, use of our betting tools, and a live video stream whenever you want it, the cost is only $39. $39. That's it. All of that to be a subscriber through July 31st. Sign up now at VSiN.com/summer. Not to be confused with the spring special, which gave way to the summer special. To point that out. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a Wednesday. Hour number two of Wednesday. Always kind enough to join us in studio. It is the co-host of Long Shots, the greatest golf betting podcast there ever was. It's Brady Cannon. How you doing, Brady?
I am good. How are you?
Doing very well.
It's a birthday week for you and I.
Yes. What day is your birthday?
I'm the 6th.
You are the 6th.
You're the 4th, right?
I'm the 4th.
Yeah.
Rafa Nadal's the 3rd.
Oh, wow. Didn't know that.
So my family, here's how it works.
That's why he's so good at the French.
That's exactly right. My family, my grandmother, on my dad's side, is the 2nd of June.
Oh, wow.
My father, may he rest in peace, was the 3rd of June.
My goodness.
And I am the 4th of June.
All kinds of Gemini there.
So I have to keep this streak alive. I have to plan accordingly, as I like to say.
You
know what I mean,
Gil.
Ben Wilson.
It's a lot of pressure, Gil. September 18th, the little Virgo action over here.
There you go. Ben Wilson.
That's the same day as, no, it's not the
same day as Lance Armstrong, is who I share a birthday with. So really great guy to share a birthday
Completing
with.
The cycle, that if you will.
That didn't age well.
Did not age well.
That did not. Brady, we got the Memorial to talk about.
Big boy golf tournament.
Big boy golf tournament, for sure.
2 weeks away from the U.S. Open.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get into all that, because we've talked about this a little bit this morning, the first of the LIV golf events in London coming up June 9th, they finally put out the list yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And Dustin Johnson was the big name on it. There was others. Kevin Na. We expected some of the other names. Taylor Gooch.
Yeah, I would say DJ and Gooch were probably the real big surprises.
Though DJ's name had gotten out there before Phil Mickelson had stuck his foot in his mouth. And then they did a whole, we weren't doing that.
Right.
And so we turned it is. So I guess my question is this. From a betting standpoint, will you be betting this stuff? If there's no TV deal and you can't watch it, will you be betting it at all?
It doesn't have as much to do with not being able to watch for me. There's a lot of bets that I place that I kind of track on the internet or my phone or something like that, and I'm not necessarily able to watch. And I sometimes think watching provides a negative influence going forward. You know, sometimes you can be, you know, a prisoner of the moment is a phrase we like to use. If you see something on TV, maybe you're going to adjust the way you handicap the following week. And sometimes that can be good. Sometimes it can be detrimental, but it's not. And I would like to watch it, but that's not related to the betting aspect of it. We talked about this before. I don't bet the European Tour because I'm completely unfamiliar with the courses they play over there. And a big part of my handicap is horses for courses and who fits this particular golf course. So that would be one reason. And maybe, I guess now it's looking like they might have eight events or something like that.
Yeah. And five are in the United States, which I didn't really understand that was the case.
I didn't know that was going to be the case either. That's kind of cool. Maybe we will get to watch eventually.
Yeah. Or maybe you'll know the courses.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So maybe further on down the road, I will get involved. I'm sure it will be nothing too aggressive to begin with, but maybe I'll kind of bleed my way in as it becomes more prevalent, or, you know, we see some events unfold and how guys are doing, who's winning, this type of thing, if we start to see some patterns evolve. But as of now, no, I don't plan on betting it until... You know, that remains yet to be seen.
Yeah. I mean, again, here is Portland, Boston, Chicago, Miami among the locations for some of these events. So
DJ, too, you know, you and I talked about this before, too. We always felt Kevin Na and like Chase Koepka's on the list.
Yes.
And he makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's the type of guy that Greg Norman and company want to win. Because that's going to have these other, you use the term middling PGA Tour players. If they see Chase Koepka make $4 million, they're going to go, wow.
That's right.
I could go do that. So I don't know if they necessarily want to see DJ win. They want to see some of these no names, so to speak, probably have a great deal of success, and maybe that will attract more people to their game.
How much of this is DJ just saying, man, I could win all these tournaments and make a grip of cash? And how much of it is DJ, 35 years old, saying, you know what? This is tough winning on this tour now. All these young players that are really good right now, it's not that easy anymore.
I think it's both. And, you know, he has a U.S. Open and he has a Masters. And that's pretty much, you know, what made up his boyhood dreams as an ascending professional golfer. He won those two events. Now he is 37 years old. And to your point, Will Zalatoris, Cameron Young, Colin Morikawa, all these guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, DJ's now 13th in the world. You know, I mean, this guy was number one like yesterday, right? And so, I mean, just in that short amount of time, things have become that much tougher for him. And, yeah, maybe he's going to go try and make a boatload of cash for the next couple of years and ride off into the sunset, like John Wayne, as we like to say.
John Wayne. Pilgrim, what do you got for your U.S. Open? What do you have in pocket, U.S. Open?
I made one bet two nights ago, and this might throw you off a little bit. Tony Finau, 55-1.
Oh, boy. What did you think of
that? And
there?
I'll tell you why. This guy has become the renovation doctor is Gil Hance. Gil Hance did a remodel to Southern Hills for the PGA Championship. Gil Hance did a remodel to Winged Foot, the 2020 side of the U.S. Open when Bryson DeChambeau won. Well, Gil Hance also put his hands on the country club at Brookline, where we'll be in 2 weeks. And Tony Finau, all those Gil Hance redesigns, he's had great success. And he also just finished fourth at Colonial last week. And I have, for many years, thought Colonial was a decent indicator of possible U.S. Open success. Just because narrow fairways, you've got to work the ball in both directions, small greens, and it held a U.S. Open many, many years ago. I also think the Memorial this week is a possible indicator of U.S. Open success. Now, wider fairways, and we are expecting a little bit wider fairways at the Country Club this year, but it's got brutal rough. One of the few tournaments that we see on tour that has really thick rough. And, you know, you've got to have a precision iron game, a tremendous short game. So there are some similarities to what we expect out of a traditional U.S. Open setup. And I think that's what we'll get at the Country Club. So something to watch, not only who did well at Colonial, but also this week could give you some tips on who might do well at the U.S. Open. But just looking at, you know, doing some initial research on the Country Club, which is a course that a lot of these players, you know, were not even born yet the last time we saw it, 1999 for the Ryder Cup, 1988 for the last U.S. Open. So I've got to do some research myself, having not seen it since then. And like I say, one of the guys that came out as a guy that makes some sense is Tony Finau. So that's my first bet, Tony Finau at 55-1.
Where do you stand on stuff? Because whenever you say Tony Finau, my quick reaction was, oh boy, right?
Yeah, understandably so.
What that is, yeah, that's just an expression of, Matt Brown on Primetime Action calls it win equity. So like a lot of these guys are lurkers on the leaderboard, mm-hmm. right? They're always up there. Tony Finau, Xander Schauffele,
yep.
right? But they don't actually win golf tournaments, which is, right, the opposite of like a Sam Burns who actually
sure. yeah.
gets there.
Mm-hmm.
Scottie Scheffler gets there. How much does that weigh on your mind when you make a play, like on a Tony Finau in an outright?
Well, I just simply thought 55 was a pretty good number.
Right.
I'm with you. Now, if Tony Finau was at 30, I'd say, nah. No. But he's been off the boil a little bit, you know. But again, that fourth place finish at Colonial, he finished second to John Rahm in Mexico. Now, that was against a very weak field, but I don't think we can throw shade at any second place finish, no matter what. He finished 30th at the PGA. So he has been in decent form. If you look at his strokes gained approach numbers, you know, off the tee, he's always been great. So, you know, I think there's a lot of things that make sense, but it was more about the number. Again, if he was, you know, I would say if he was 40, maybe even 45 or less, I probably wouldn't have dived
in. Well, and I totally get that. That's where it gets to, you know, it's just like, can this guy figure out a way to get it done kind of thing?
Because
even if it was a, right, because there's somebody listening who's going to be like, hey, even if it was 155-1, I wouldn't bet on Tony Finau, right? Which would not be a good way to approach it. I would agree with that.
Understand the thinking, though.
Yes, but I get, you know, I think it is an interesting golf question. It's like, who is a chronic lurker? And who just with it? Harold Varner, right?
Well, it used to be Matt Kuchar.
Right.
You know, and Jim Furyk did win a lot, but they used to call those guys just an ATM machine.
Right.
You know, all they did was cash top 10 finishes,
top
but not
10s,
victories.
But not the outrights. That's the thing. Like Harold Varner, he was tied for the lead this last week going into back nine.
I just put some funny money on him overnight going into Sunday because I had Chris Kirk, and I didn't know if he was going to be able to make a run. So I just put a couple of dollars on Harold Varner, and I was looking pretty good. And then he hit the 12th hole.
45 he shot on the back nine. My goodness. We'll get Brady's memorial picks, outrights, derivatives, head-to-heads, and his thoughts on the Warriors. He's got a futures ticket as well. Next, Numbers Game, Visa.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks. When you wager on the BetMGM app, sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. They showed the actual broadcast footage of the play that coined the phrase Hail Mary. Roger Staubach to Drew Pearson against the Vikings so many years ago. And that just looks like a terrible play by the defensive back in real time. It's like all these famous plays. You're like, how could you let that ball be caught?
You know what would happen in today's day and age? There would be a 5-minute review for pass interference.
Oh,
and,
sure.
You know.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Trevor Warwick, Phillies lose again after being tied after 6 innings. We need Todd back on soon to update this after 6 inning numbers. Talking about Todd Wishnev and his after 6 inning or after the 5th inning numbers on was it after the 5th inning? I think it was after the 5th inning, 6 inning and beyond. He does a great job with that. We will have him back on. A whole bunch of tweets in Spanish this morning. Very global show talking about tennis. Dead Rail. The guy with all the baseball info was awesome, but I missed his website. That was John Legesa. You can follow him at Twitter. MLB Moving Average. That's MLB Moving AVG. He's got all his information there. He's outstanding. Love John. Logic 3227. Lets out heavy sigh, he says in parentheses. Gone are the days of a young Gilly Ice giving out his MLB picks. Guess I have to settle for tennis. Oh, well, the money still spends the same. Winners are winners, no matter the sport. Yeah, Logic, it's been a while, man. I leave the baseball to others these days and go the tennis route. I think that's worked out well, generally speaking. By the way, we're down a set with Marin Cilic, but he's up a break in set number 2 in his quarterfinal match against Andrei Rublev. We are on Cilic. Brady Cannon is here. Brady, we have 8 minutes to get through a few things. One, you have a Warriors future mm-hmm. that is far better than my own. What is it, 11-1?
I have 11-1. I bet it before the season started. And I did go through the thought process of how I was going to hedge. And I think I said last week, if Miami emerged as the opponent, I was going to sit tight. If it was the Celtics, I was going to hedge. And I went through that process and figured out how I was going to do it. I did not split it right down the middle. And I basically went with what the market is telling us. If you look at the win probability, the Warriors being about minus 160, minus 165 favorites to win the series, that translates into about a 62% chance to win. So conversely, 38% chance for the Celtics to win. And so that's what I converted to dollars. I put 38% of my possible win on the Celtics.
Okay. So you're sitting back and you're just going to win it either way.
I'm going to win it either way, but I left myself more available profit if the Warriors
still
get it done,
which
obviously is what everybody perceives as what is more likely to happen.
No. Not young Gil. He's not hedging his.
Your number's smaller, right?
Smaller.
You don't have as much room to work with. I understand.
Yeah.
And, you know, and this has become a topic ever since Rufus and Mito Pereira joined hands. You know.
Wow.
But I think it's to each his own.
You made that sound so royal. Yeah.
It's to each his own, and I absolutely understand Rufus's position. And, you know, I mean, the way I look at it is somebody can hand me a few free car payments and like, okay, I'll take it, you know.
It was fun having Rufus in here.
Oh, yeah.
It was a spirited discussion that we had, but fascinating, where he, again, for those who missed it, he had Mito Pereira at the PGA. 150, what was it again?
He put
nickel at 300-1 odds to win 150,000.
Exactly.
Yeah. And he was just like, I'm not.
Tough loss. Tough loss.
He was good through 71 holes.
Yep.
Not through 72. But he decided to ride it the whole way. Okay, the other thing before we get to the Memorial, it is the match 6 at the Wynn.
Mm-hmm.
It is Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers against Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. The olds against the youngs.
Yes.
And the olds are favored pretty much in every
little
category.
By a lot, I believe.
Are you betting this at all?
No. Out of this will be the 6th match. I want to say I've bet 3 of them. I bet the very first one, Mickelson and Tiger at Shadow. I took Mickelson for a winner. I don't think I've lost yet, actually, on these matches. I took Mickelson for a winner at about plus 130, if I recall. I thought it should have been a pick'em. Mickelson ended up winning that. The next one, I figured Tiger was going to get his revenge. He was paired with Peyton Manning against Phil and Tom Brady. That was a mismatch. Tiger playing on his home course. I won with that one with the Tiger team. And then I won on the one we saw last year with, Aaron Rodgers and DeChambeau against Mickelson. And I can't remember who the other player was, but I did bet that one for a winner as well. But half of them have been, you know, kind of so off the handicapping norm
yeah.
that I didn't get involved in. I won't get involved in this one either.
And if somebody wants to play the win, they can go through your Tee Times
That's
USA.
Correct. Yes.
And how much will it run them?
Well, in season, it was in the neighborhood of $650, and now we're into summertime, so they'll probably have a reduced rate. I'm guessing it'll be in the neighborhood of somewhere between $400 and $550, something like that.
Okay.
But
all right.
It's not cheap.
Not cheap.
No. But it's also tremendous.
I was going to say, doing it once, maybe he'll do that.
Yeah.
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 All right.
And they do offer some breaks, I believe, for local residents as well.
Oh, nice.
During the summertime.
Okay. The Memorial this week. This is the tournament, for those who will sort of jog their memory. This is the one where John Rahm was up 6 strokes last
yes.
year after the third round. Then they told him, you're COVID positive. And
when he walked off the green, the 18th green on Saturday.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, you're out.
By the way, you're out. He said it. He needed 10 minutes, and then he was over it. Who knows if that's true or not, but that's what he said. And did he win it the year before as well?
Yes.
So this would have been a chance to three-peat this, and he is the short shot at 10-1, along with Rory. Patrick Cantlay, 16-1. Xander, 18-1. Everybody else, including Morikawa, is Spieth, 20-1 and longer. Good field, though.
Absolutely. Great field. Great tournament. One of the big boy tournaments on the PGA Tour. And I used correlated courses. This is a course of Jack Nicklaus' design. He built this property in 1974, and he really modeled it a lot after Augusta National. I also used the Concession in Florida, a course that he designed, Glen Abbey in Canada, a course that he designed, and then also TPC Potomac, where we were for the Wells Fargo mm-hmm. just a couple weeks ago. And I didn't really want to eat the chalk, but I went to Rory. I just couldn't avoid it. He's been so good as of late. If you look at where he or what he's done at the Memorial, 18th, 8th, 4th, 15th, 10th, 5th. We know he has multiple top 10 finishes at Augusta. He was 5th at TPC Potomac a couple weeks ago. His current form, he's finished 8th, 5th, and 2nd in his last 3 starts, and 2 of those 3 were major championships. So I took Rory at 13-1. I went with Shane Lowry. He's also been tremendous this season. If you go back to the Honda Classic, he's finished 2nd, 13th, 12th, 3rd, 3rd, 23rd, finished 6th at the Memorial last year, 3rd at Augusta, has a 12th at Glen Abbey. He's 8th on tour and approach, 21st in par 4 scoring, which I think is a very key statistic this week. Matthew Fitzpatrick at 28-1, 6 top 10 finishes this season with a 5th and a 2nd in his last 2 starts. And like a major championship, Gil, Memorial is going to make you do everything well. Matthew Fitzpatrick is number 1 on tour in strokes gained total. Also just finished in 2nd at TPC Potomac and also has a 14th and a 7th at Augusta. Sungjae Im at 36-1, 11 top 25 finishes this season. Now, he missed a couple weeks due to COVID, but came back at the Colonial last week and had a respectable finish of 15th. He is also 5th on tour in par 4 scoring. And then a couple of longer shots. Keegan Bradley at 55-1, 4 top 10 finishes in his last 6 stroke play events. He's got a 5th and a 2nd at Potomac. He's also got a 4th at Glen Abbey. And then Chris Kirk, my 3rd week in a row
yes.
of jumping on the Georgia Bulldog, Chris Kirk. I took him at 70-1, and he is not disappointed. The last 2 weeks I've taken him, 5th at the PGA, 15th at Colonial. He's 34th on tour on approach, 8th tee to green, 28th in par 4 scoring. I think Chris Kirk is just on such a run right now that he ought to be able to at least cash a top 20 once again.
Head-to-heads?
Head-to-heads, Sungjae Im minus 115 over Daniel Berger. I'm not sure if that price is still available. And then Patrick Cantlay, this one's interesting. I have actually hit the outright winner at the Memorial the last 2 years. I
oh,
had
really?
Rahm, and then I was the lucky beneficiary of Patrick Cantlay last year
nice.
When Rahm was pulled out of that tournament. But I took Patrick Cantlay at plus 130 over John Rahm. The numbers will tell you that Cantlay's in better form right now. Obviously a disappointing finish for both of these players at the PGA Championship. Championship, but I thought plus 130 was a little out of whack.
All right. Next episode of Long Shots is when?
Next week, Tuesday, for the RBC Canadian Open, and then, of course, the U.S. Open to follow that.
And, of course, the U.S. Open, and you always have big guests for your majors.
Yeah, for the U.S. Open, we're going to have the PGA tout. I think it's John Hasselbauer is his name.
Oh, he's really good.
He's outstanding. And then our bookmaker side of the guest portion will be Nick Bogdanovich.
And he means PGA tout, ironically. People
yes,
should point
sure.
out. Thank you, Brady. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Brady Cannon, everybody. Lombardi Line next. Enjoy from Visa, the sports.